Beloved in Christ, listen to these words gleaned from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Beloved, my question is, have those words ever happened to you? Do you think angels are here with us right now, gathered around, guarding our ways, lifting us up? Lifting us up and away not only from our spiritual danger, but physical danger too. Do you think they're here? Is it possible that there's one leaning against a wall right there? A few up here near the front, two or three hovering by the audio equipment, a multitude of the heavenly host beaming in the rafters. Maybe even an archangel arching his back in the seat next to you. Do you think they're here with us? For the Lord will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Do you believe that? In the last 50 years, angels have gained in popularity. Maybe Billy Graham's book from 1975 now, called Angels, God's Secret Agents, helped with that in its first 4 months. It sold 1 million copies, and since then it has sold millions more. Perhaps that book sort of jump-started the evangelical world thinking about angels again. Or maybe it was the books by Christian fiction writer Frank Peretti in the mid to late 80s, this Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness, books all about angels and spiritual warfare, exciting stuff. Hollywood hasn't let the strong American belief in angels go to waste. Every year around this time, we're treated to the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life, featuring Clarence Oddbody, a somewhat bumbling angel second class, trying to earn not his stripes but his wings by the end of the film as he helps George Bailey understand the world is better off with him than without him. There's Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon, Touched by an Angel, featuring Roma Downey and Della Reese. A recent poll tells us 70% of Americans believe in angels. They do so in the face of modern materialist worldviews that laugh scornfully at the very idea of belief in angels, calling it a bunch of pre-modern superstition, hocus pocus. But somehow we, Christians and non-Christians alike, can't help it. Whether you know the words or not, the Nicene Creed, a summary of the Christian faith, nails down the truth when we read that God is the creator of all things seen and unseen. For so many in our world, we have only space for things that can be seen or touched and measured, and yet so many people have a soft spot in their hearts for a multitude of unseen realities, angels. I'm sure you also hear every so often about experiences in which someone is convinced, they're convinced they've had some sort of contact with an angel or angels. Someone mentioned to me as we were greeting this morning, have I got an angel story for you? They believe angels have spoken to them, protected them, been near them at one time or another in their lives. Graham Tomlin, the former Bishop of Kensington in the UK, and now the director of the Center of Cultural Witness in the Anglican Church, writes, sometimes when I preach about angels, and when I do, something always happens. Every time. people start telling me earnestly their own angel stories. Do you have angel stories, beloved? A story of when you're absolutely sure you spoke with, looked at, dreamed of, were warned by, visited by an angel. I would say a good many of you have a story to tell. I do myself, more than one. I believe the writer of Hebrews is spot on. In chapter 1, he writes, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" In chapter 13, he concludes, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." One of my angel stories, I think I've told you once about it, Allison and I, this is before we had kids, we were driving on the Tri-State Tollway in the suburbs of Chicago. It was a mess outside around Christmas time, snowing furiously, there was ice everywhere, but the tollway was actually pretty clear. It had been salted continuously, and there didn't seem to be any slippery spots, our toll money at work. Well, after the 83rd Street Toll Plaza on the tollway, going north, there is a bridge that is affectionately called the Mile-Long Bridge by Chicago natives. The Mile-Long Bridge. Well, we hit that bridge going about 45 miles per hour, but what we didn't know was that cars were sliding all over the place on that bridge in front of us. The bridge was a sheet of ice. Bridges freeze sooner than roadways. Three lanes of traffic sliding and going either 5 to 10 miles an hour, if not stopped, in front of us. When we rounded the corner and finally saw through the swirling snow all those brake lights of the cars stopped in front of us, we hit our brakes, of course, and I was pumping them like crazy. We didn't have anti-lock brakes. You pump them yourself, for those who are not old enough to know that, trying desperately to stop in time. And when I first hit the brakes, I thought, there's no way, we're going to crash. There's no way we'll stop. We'll crash into someone, never stop in time. This is pure ice, we're going to crash. But you know what? Our car stopped, how can I put it? Our car stopped just like it was setting on dry pavement. And the pavement was ice. It was a sheet of ice. I looked at Allison, she looked at me, we couldn't explain it, but let me tell you, that eerie feeling sure was there, as if someone was protecting us, as if someone else was stopping that car. I can't explain it, but I know it wasn't my driving technique or the tires or my imagination, and I truly believe there were angels watching over us, being commanded by the Lord to guard us in all our ways, including driving a bit too fast on an icy highway. Bishop Graham Tomlin again shares a story that one of his parishioners told him about their own angel encounter after Tomlin preached on angels. Came up to him, a soldier he was, on a climbing expedition to Mount Kenya. Another soldier on his team had fallen to his death. And this soldier found himself frozen in fear, stuck on a tiny ledge of the mountain, couldn't move up, couldn't move down, frozen with fear. And suddenly, in this inaccessible part of the world, having seen no one for days, their team, on a mountain that his team were the only ones registered to climb, an unknown climber appeared out of nowhere, moved onto his tiny ledge with him, tied a rope into his harness, and lowered him down the rock face to safety. And then he simply climbed back up the rock face, never to be seen again. That soldier is convinced that was an angel. Another parishioner pulled Bishop Tomlin aside and with tears in his eyes told him, "I was at the airport, and a stranger walked by and asked if he could help me. He saw I was in distress because I was having a seemingly impossible problem with an airline, and that stranger fixed the problem in about 30 seconds. I told him, 'Oh, Oh, let me get a selfie of you and me so I can show my wife who it was who helped me. So I took a selfie of us with my arm wrapped around this helpful dude. And later I went to show my wife the picture of the guy who helped me. And there I was in the picture, grinning from ear to ear, but my arm was wrapped around nothing. There was no one there. Pastor, I'm convinced, he told Bishop, that this was an angel. Maybe some of you, or maybe it's a lot of you, have some stories like these, and you're convinced of your own angel encounter. If you're not, if you're skeptical, just remember, we do believe that God is the creator of all things seen and unseen, so maybe an angel battalion is positioned right now over our sanctuary, just awaiting a command from the Lord concerning you. The Word of God tells us this is true. I'd like to tell you one more story. Maybe you still find yourself a bit skeptical, but this story is straight from God's Word, and there are angels in it. The story is very clear about that. These angels truly are ministering spirits sent to serve those who would inherit salvation. You'll recognize the story. It's in the bulletin where it's found. I hope it hits your heart in a new way this morning. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. And before they enjoyed their wedding night, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. And God's angel spoke in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." This would bring the prophet's embryonic revelation to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. And then Joseph woke up, and he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on pilgrimage to worship him." And when word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all his high priests and religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And they told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory." The prophet Micah wrote it plainly, "It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. And then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child, leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off, and then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts: gold, frankincense, myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to return back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and commanded, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child, wants to kill him." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea had preached. "I called my son out of Egypt." Herod, when he realized that the scholars had tricked him, flew into a rage. He commanded the murder of every little boy 2 years old and under who lived in Bethlehem and its surrounding hills. He determined that age from information he'd gotten from the scholars. That's when Jeremiah's revelation was fulfilled. A sound was heard in Ramah, weeping and much lament. Rachel weeping for her children, Rachel refusing all solace, her children gone, dead and buried. And later when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. "Up, take the child and his mother, return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead." Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother, and re-entered Israel. When he heard, though, that Archelaus had succeeded his father, Herod, as king in Judah, he was afraid to go there. But then Joseph was directed in a dream to go to the hills of Galilee, and on arrival he settled in the village of Nazareth. This move was a fulfillment of the prophetic words, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Beloved, that's our absolutely true story. No skepticism needed. Did you hear the angels at work in it, protecting that little baby, ministering to the one without whom we could never inherit salvation? Even before the baby was born, the angels were guiding and directing Joseph on what to do. Get married to Mary. And so this little baby, because one man's decision was overruled by an angelic encounter, this little baby grew up with both a heavenly father and an earthly father who could protect his family. Did you hear the angels at work in the story? Once the baby was born, the Lord's angel, by the Lord's command, intervened yet again into their lives. The angel came and told Joseph to flee to Egypt, to flee, for King Herod was on the hunt for their little child. So they fled, and the little baby escaped the sword of Herod. Did you hear the angels at work in the story? One more time, at the Lord's command, the angel appears and moves Mary and Joseph and their baby onto Galilee, safely away from Herod's son Archelaus. The angels intervene so that the little baby might be safely tucked away until his ministry was ready to begin. Did you hear the angels at work in this story? It's a story about angels that you can believe. Not that the other stories, our own stories, are all made up and we can't believe them. Not that at all. But this story has something our own stories will never have. This story was written as the infallible testimony of the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt about it. No eerie feelings by a couple of people in a car, or a soldier on a mountainside, or a frazzled passenger at an airport. This story is written by the Lord God. It happened. The Lord commanded his angels concerning this little baby to guard him in all his ways, and they lifted him up in their hands so that his foot did not strike a stone. It's the story of God protecting this little baby through his angel servants. It is the testimony of the Holy Spirit of God. But did you notice something about this story? Like most any story, this one, too, has a supporting cast and a starring role. As exciting and powerful as the angels are, as inspiring and thrilling as the angels make the story, did you notice something? The angels are only the supporting cast. And so are Joseph and even Mary. They are only the supporting cast members. The starring role in the story is the little baby. He is the one all this fuss is about. He is the one who is guarded by angels who are commanded by the Lord. He is the one whom every other member of this cast and every angel is supporting. For some reason, angels are watching over this little baby Jesus all night and all day. He is the one dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, protected by angels, so that one day soon he would protect us by the shedding of his blood on the cross. He would protect us from the Lord's punishment against our sin. He would protect us from hell itself. Beloved, even if you may be a little skeptical about a few of those angel stories, I urge you, believe on this little baby Jesus. He is the Lord Jesus Christ who has ministered his salvation to you at the cross and at the resurrection. That's the absolute truth. I visited Rod Ballast, elderly saint of our church, this past week, and I asked him as we closed our conversation, "Rod, you've known Jesus as your Lord and Savior a long time, haven't you?" And his head turned, and he looked me dead in the eye. And in a moment of absolute clarity, which for Rod in his dementia is becoming harder to come by, and he declared, "That has never wavered, Pastor." Friends, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? The one whom angels by the Lord's command made sure to protect. Friends, do you know Jesus? It's something I hope you will never waver from. But if it is right now wavering a bit, let God's word convince you one more time today. Amen. Lord God, thank you that you commanded your angels all night, all day, concerning the little baby Jesus, so that he could go to the cross and pay the debt of our sin. And Lord God, thank you that you command angels concerning us too. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Together. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. All for the glory of the Lord Jesus, we pray.